Hello and welcome back to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
And my name is Holly. This is Therapy Hour.
Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam peoples.
Hey.
We're back in the studio.
We are back, and we're better than ever.
It feels good. Yeah, I kind of didn't know if we would ever do another Therapy Hour episode.
Well, I was hoping for it.
I was hoping for it, too. And now here we are in Vancouver, in the studio, talking about long-distance friendships.
We are.
It's really appropriate because since Therapy Hour ended, we have become a long-distance friendship.
We have. And it has come with lots of updates, lots of things that are going in our lives.
Where are you living now, Holly?
I live in London, England, if anyone's heard of it before.
Little town called London.
Little town called London, England. I've been living there for the last 6 months. This is my first time back in Vancouver since I left. And it's so special to be back, especially with my bestie. What about you, Violet? Where are you living?
Yeah, we probably talked about it in our last episode, but a little over 2 years ago, moved to Toronto and have been living there and loving that. And I've visited Vancouver a couple times, visited Holly while she was still living here. We did not do a Therapy Hour podcast episode at the time, but we decided since it was both of our times returning, we wanted to do a little special bonus episode for you all.
Yeah.
So last time we were consistently doing episodes, we covered a lot of topics that I think related a lot to university students, some that were maybe a little bit more universal, but we were university students ourselves, and now we've both graduated and we've moved to different cities, and so we've become long-distance friends, and a lot of the folks who maybe were listening to us at the time may have graduated as well, may have had friends who have graduated, transitioned into this different part of their lives, and so this is a topic that really resonates with us, and we hope that it resonates with you too.
Yeah, I think we talk about it a lot with our friends now, that especially the post-university, like some people stay in their university towns. I know a lot of people stay in Vancouver, but a lot of people say goodbyes to people that maybe they were spending all of their time with beforehand. And so that obviously changes the relationship and the dynamics that those relationships have. And I think what's interesting is the first time that I was thinking about long-distance friendships was not in university. It was when I left high school. Not everyone leaves high school or the city that they're in high school for to go to university, but that's certainly what I did. And it was the first time that I was having like a change, a big life change in general, but then also a change in my relationships. And honestly, I really struggled with those friendships. I really struggled with understanding how to maintain them, especially because I was someone who honestly, I had very little intention of ever returning back to the city that I went to high school in. And a lot of my, actually all of my, no, not all of them, but most of my high school friends have also not returned there. So it was definitely a struggle for me personally. I don't know if you also struggled with that.
No, I had a similar experience. I think after high school, I really wanted a change and I wanted sort of a clean break in a way. And I was moving not only, you know, across the country, but across the continent. I was moving to a different country and really far away from the relationships that I had in high school. And, you know, that was great for me. And I loved building a new life. But I think when that similar experience circled back around to ending university and changing cities again, it made me really nervous because my only experience doing something similar was from high school, where I really said goodbye to a lot of those relationships, not because I didn't love those people, not because I didn't want those relationships in some capacity in my life, but because things were changing and I had to focus on this new part of my life. And so I was really nervous graduating university and having these amazing friendships and this amazing community that something similar would happen.
Yeah.
And luckily it didn't. And I have been able to maintain relationships in a much different way than I was able to at the end of high school. I mean, I had been through it before and I had more experience. And, you know, having adult friendships is very different from having high school friendships. So it was a totally different experience.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I guess not everyone would know this, but Byla was kind of the first person in our friend group in Vancouver to leave. And so I'm interested to know, Violet, how that felt and also what was it like to try to maintain a lot of long distance friendships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was sort of this interesting decision where, you know, I wanted to explore a different city. I wanted to grow and expand myself. But the hardest part of leaving Vancouver was definitely leaving behind friends and leaving behind community. And I really struggled with that and I wrestled with that. But once I was over in Toronto, I had so many visitors and I got to be the fun token friend that was in a different city. And I was so surprised by how many people were like, hey, let's meet up in Toronto or wanted to stay with me or, you know, that was such a fun element to a long distance friendship of, hey, come see this city that I've really fallen in love with. Let me show you all the spots that matter to me. That was super, super special to share. And then I also really loved, you know, making new friends and being able to build a new world and then being able to combine those worlds and introduce my old friends to my new friends to my old friends. And that was really, really a special experience as well.
Yeah.
How about you? As one of the most recent people who have departed Vancouver in our circle, how has that experience been for you?
Yeah, I think you and I have very similar opinions of Vancouver as a city. And I think I agree with you that I would argue to say maybe one of the only things that was still tying me back to the city was my friendships, my relationships. And so it was very scary. It was very nerve-wracking. But I also really resonate with this idea of, or it feels fun to live in a city that people want to visit, I guess. And so I moved and then immediately so many people came to visit, which was really nice, but also really stressful. And I also didn't know anything about London. So people were just showing up and I was like, okay, I guess I'll try to show you the world that I live in now. But it's not really a world yet because I haven't really built it.
Still fresh.
And I think it's also really nice for me that a place like Vancouver exists and people that I love and care about are still friends and still like I still have a community here and I'm kept up to date with all the things that are here. And so coming back to Vancouver, I think that there was a bit of nerves. Like I was a bit nervous to see what it was going to be like, but my friends are the same and they still love me and I still love them. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting to like maintain relationships, not only like my individual relationships, but knowing what my community is doing and then coming back and feeling like I fit right into it. Like so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this even earlier today of like, I feel like I have many homes now.
Yeah.
And coming back here for me feels like coming home in a unique way that is different from going back to the States where I grew up, which is different from going back to Toronto. It's all these different unique homes. And that's something really beautiful that you get in making little nests all over the world. Has there been anything that you've really struggled with in moving away from your community?
Yeah, definitely. Well, the number one thing, which is, I guess, a bit more logistical, but I live in a time zone that is, I think,
6 hours?
No, I'm 6 hours
from me.
You, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm like 8 or 9 hours from Vancouver and the West Coast in general. And my mom lives on the West Coast as well. So trying to find time to talk to people and actually connect with them has been really, really difficult. I have had so many experiences of like going out with people in London and something fun and crazy happens and I desperately want to tell my friends and then I check the time and it's like 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, now I can't tell and I can't talk to anyone now. And so I think that the time zone has really affected it, but I have lovely friends and I also have friends that wake up super early in the morning, which is actually very cool for me. And then I think the main thing that I've struggled with, especially in the last 6 months in terms of like connecting with my community or whatever those struggles look like with my community, is I find that being so far away from the people that I love and connect with so dearly in such an intimate way has been really hard, especially because those intimate relationships take a really long time to build. Like, our friendship is over the span of 6 years, mm-hmm. and or 7 years. And for the first year of our friendship, we weren't even that close. And yeah. I continue to forget that. And so when I'm still in the midst in London of like building up those friendships and building intimacy within my friendships and finding people that I really connect with. And so when difficult things that have happened in the last couple months for me, it was really hard to like be in a city where my community wasn't, mm-hmm. and also having to wait for like my community to wake up. Yeah. And so I could call them and debrief with them. And I'm not even like a physical touch person, but I think it's really hard to not have the people that you love and care for, and also those people that care for you, not in front of you to like show you that love. And so, yeah, I think those are the main things that I struggle with.
Yeah, I definitely felt that when I first moved to Toronto, and especially when I came back to Vancouver. I sort of had this interesting experience where I was like, I love my new friends in Toronto, but they're also new friends.
Yeah.
And coming back to Vancouver and being surrounded by people who I've known for years longer than the people that I've known in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's such a different relationship.
Yeah.
And it takes time. You can't force it. You can find people you really connect with.
Yeah.
But those long-lasting, you know, trusting, beautiful friendships
yeah.
blossom over time. And they take time to develop. And you can't rush that.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of comparison between relationships definitely was one of the things that I sort of struggled with.
Mm.
And I also struggled with, you know, a part of my relationship with people is being able to talk about the other relationships in my life and different dynamics and tell stories about the people around me and things that have happened to me.
Mm.
And something unexpected that I experienced when I first moved away was I didn't consider that none of my friends in Vancouver were going to know my Toronto friends. And
right.
almost none of my friends in Toronto knew my Vancouver friends.
Yeah.
And so there was a sort of a lack of engagement at times
yeah.
when I was telling stories to one group or the other, because it's harder to connect with a story when you don't
Absolutely.
Know the person, when you didn't go through the memory or the experience together versus, you know, with my friends in Vancouver, I could be like, hey, remember when this happened?
Yeah.
And in Toronto, I was being sparked memories and telling those stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friends are great and they were engaged, but they also didn't share that. You know, time in my life with me or that memory with me. And so I sort of struggled with that a little bit.
Yeah.
And this changed over time as people visited me and those worlds collided more and more.
Mm.
And I feel like even in our, you know, relationship, I could tell a story before you had visited about some of my Toronto people and it just felt like it didn't stick as much. And
once
you met those people and began to develop your own relationships with those people in some sense, it felt really different. And that split in my life really started to sort of be sewn together a little bit more, which was really nice and harmonious. And it's so special seeing, you know, bringing together two groups of people that you really love and connecting them.
Yeah, and I also think it's because I feel like right now that's the place that I'm in. So I'm telling stories of all these London people and I'm trying to like showcase to my friends in Vancouver. Like, I don't know, it's hard to describe people because sometimes there's just an essence of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'm like, do you want to hear about this? Maybe you don't care about these people and maybe it's going to the only time where you will connect with them is when you actually get to meet them in person, because I feel like when I was hearing about your Toronto friends, I was like, I'm excited about this story, but I don't know who this person is. I'm not like invested in them. Whereas now I've met your Toronto friends like quite a few times. And so when you tell me something, I'm like, well, yes, I know.
I know exactly who that
is. I know
is.
Who these people are.
I can picture it. I can picture them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember just always thinking like, I just wish you knew them. Like, I just wish you already knew them.
Yeah.
But that's also something that's nice that can grow and change over time.
And you get to build new communities. And then you also can sometimes get surprised as to who in those communities your friends are like gravitating towards, which I think is also very silly.
Totally. Well, that is our little intro for our exciting little bonus episode. And as always, we are going to play an on-theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Just be warned, there is a little bit of explicit language, nothing too graphic, but there is some explicit language in the song. We're going to be playing True Blue by Boy Genius, and we're really excited because this is a song, it's a beautiful song about friendship, and it's a song that really makes me think of Halle, especially since we become long-distance friends. So without further ado, this is True Blue by Boy Genius.
You said you wanted to feel alive, so we went to the beach. You were born in July 95 in a deadly heat. You say you're a winter bitch, but summer's in your blood. You can't help but become the sun. Chicago, you were spinning out. When you don't know who you are, you fuck around and find out. When you called me from the train, water freezing in your eyes, you were happy and I wasn't surprised. And it feels good.
The simple joy of riding a bike missing from your life? No worries. Ride On Bike Shop has got you covered. Ride On has the best deals in town for new and used bikes, top-notch servicing, and all the parts or accessories you've been dreaming about. Whether you've got a little one who needs to learn how to ride, or if you're about to go on the Tour de France, Ride On is the place for you. We'll also happily pick up your old bikes and recycle them back into the community. Located on 2255 West Broadway, we are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. That's R-I-D-E-O-N Bike Shop. See you there.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
And we are back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. While that beautiful song was playing, and also some ads, Violet and I were talking about how we feel like we're a little rusty.
You gotta be gracious with us, please.
Please. I think it does, like Violet said right before we came back on air, it's like we're doing our first episode. And also, it's been 2 years since we've done this.
True.
And obviously, we always have a rapport because we're besties and we love talking to each other. But I remember when we first recorded Therapy Hour, I was so nervous. And it definitely took a couple of episodes to get in the groove. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, when, like, the last few episodes of Therapy Hour, we were really in our groove.
Yeah. And it feels kind of funky and different to revisit it.
But we're finding it. We're finding our groove.
We're in it, baby. We're in the groove. And that brings us right into our research section. If you follow us on Instagram, you saw that we sent out a little questionnaire like we used to do back in the day because we wanted to hear from all of you about your long distance friendships. We didn't want to just talk about our boring old friendship.
No.
And you guys had some really, really excellent responses. Just so you know, we have picked out a few. We couldn't fit all of them in, and we did edit some of them slightly just for brevity and clarity. But thank you to everyone who submitted. We always love reading what you all have to say. Holly, do you want to bring us through our first question and responses?
Yeah. So the first question that we asked was, tell us about your difficulties with long-distance friendships. The first response we got was, the thing I miss most is being integrated in each other's lives where I know who they know, because part of how I feel and express closeness is by having a familiarity with my friends' other relationships. Not being able to meet / know these other friends, coworkers, partners, etc. is a gap that will never be filled unless we live in the same place again. And that is really hard.
That is really relatable. Mm. I mean, I was literally just talking about that. That's a really important part of my relationships and my friendships, is them knowing the people surrounding me in my life and me knowing the people that are most important and surrounding them in their life.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, it's not impossible unless you live in the same place. You can visit.
Yeah.
You can, you know, put in the effort to getting to know those people who do become really important in your friends' lives. So don't give up hope.
It's also a really easy way to make new friends because your best friend already loves all these people. And it's kind of like a check mark of, oh, I will probably also love all these people.
Good response. I like that one.
Okay, the next one says, difficulties usually arise when trying to balance long-distance friendships while also trying to establish yourself in a new place. There's a lot of safety in putting all the work into maintaining friendships that become long-distance, but I find it can make me feel more lonely because I'm not seeking out new connections with those now close.
That's a really interesting one because I think you and I haven't really had that experience.
Mm-mm.
I can totally see that happening.
Yeah.
You know, you have these established friendships and you have these established relationships and you don't want them to die out. So you're putting a lot of energy and effort into them, and you might lose sight of the fact that it's also important to build new community in this new place.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, I don't struggle with this anymore, I don't think, but I think if I had moved away when I was younger or if my relationships were a little bit fresher, I feel like I could definitely see myself moving somewhere else and really wanting to maintain them and maybe putting more effort into them than my new fun place. But I think both of us were kind of lucky when we moved away that we had long established friendships.
True.
One, like, with each other, but also our other friends. Like, a lot of these people that I left, I'd known for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I can assume that maybe if you lived somewhere for a year or two, made a great friend or two and then moved away really wanting to continue building that relationship. I can definitely see this happening.
Yeah, or even just everyone is a little bit different with change. And so, I mean, it was daunting for us to build new friendships and new relationships, and that's hard. And it's a choice and a challenge that you have to sort of give to yourself.
Yeah. Okay, the next one says, when you can't be there for someone in the way that you were when you lived in the same place, especially if they're going through it and you can't do too much to help them from afar, finding new ways to support people you love from far away is challenging. Absolutely.
Totally. And also needing support and not having bestie there.
Yeah.
I think we've both experienced that. It's a really big difference to be able to support someone through text or FaceTime or calls.
Yeah.
But it's not the same when you had that in-person relationship before.
Definitely not. And I also think just the concept of sitting with someone when they're going through it, you don't even have to say much. But I feel like if you're on a call, if you're on FaceTime, I feel like both of us have had some breakdowns over FaceTime when we've been long distance. And it's hard to respond because you want, I feel like you're so inclined to say something, but sometimes you just don't have anything to say. And so when you're in person with those people, obviously, like, you can give them a hug, you can just be there for them and sit with them. Whereas, like, it is just a bit difficult. It's not impossible by any means, but it is very different. So I resonate with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our last one says, going from in-person friends to long distance, it can be hard to adjust to different lifestyles. For example, I have a very busy lifestyle in my city, whereas one of my friends has a more simple life and thus had more time to reach out and talk. This was totally fine until they started getting upset that I didn't talk to them as much as we would in person, or even as much as the first week we were apart. It sometimes gets to the point where they express that she didn't feel as though I valued the friendship or wanted to talk to her, even though that was far from the case. I just had in-person obligations and responsibilities to attend to.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, I think you have to adapt. Relationships change when they have distance in between them all of a sudden. And it's interesting to think, I wonder if these people had these lifestyle differences when they were in person together, or if that's something that changed once this person moved away. Because I guess those communication incompatibilities may not have reared their head when they got to spend that quality time in person with each other.
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard too when you're living two very different lives. And that can, like you said, it can kind of happen when you're living in the same place. But I definitely can see a situation where, like, going long distance, it can get kind of like aggravated because, you know, you do make compromises for your friends when you live near them. So when you do kind of, when you don't have that physical closeness, your lifestyle changes, or your lifestyle preferences, I guess, can really become a lot more exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. And I think also with technology, I mean, it's awesome that we can have such access to people who are not physically within proximity of us.
Yeah.
But it also can act as like a weird log in a way of, it took you this long to respond to my text, or, you know, I look in my calls and I called you and you didn't call me back. And I think having that sort of visual representation of a friendship can be really nerve-wracking for people.
I also think that there's more expectation now that we have devices that let us stay in contact all the time. And obviously right now we're talking about friendships, but I think that this comes out a lot also in like romantic relationships. And I've never been a texter. I'm not good at texting. I just don't express myself well over text, and I'm not good. I don't look at my phone very often, especially if I'm just out and about doing things. And so I've really struggled at times with friends that do have that more intense need to be kind of in consistent communication.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, you learn over time. I feel like I definitely have friends that absolutely respect the fact that it might take a couple days for a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just being able to communicate that to each other is really important. So now that we've covered some of the things that are a little bit more challenging about long-distance friendships, we also asked what the best parts of being in having long-distance relationships is. So one person said, finding different ways to express love and connection, getting to be so insanely excited about reunion, and having people to visit in lots of places. I think that is such a great answer.
Yeah.
I had never really thought about the privilege of being able to get so excited to reunite with a friend, and that being a great part of long distance friendships.
Oh yeah.
But that's so real. We have that.
We have that, and also we've reunited in like different places, which is really fun.
Portugal. Vancouver, Toronto.
Yeah. And I think it's really nice also that we live in we're in the time of our lives that people, our friends, live in really cool places. Yeah. Like, I know so many people just around Europe, and it's so exciting to be able to go and see, one, a person I love, but also see an amazing place that maybe I wouldn't even have gone to see if I didn't know someone who lived there.
That is definitely a perk of long distance friendships. The next one says, figuring out the ways you can be part of each other's lives and the rituals of writing letters, sending packages, and phone calls is also exciting. I also love habitually checking on my buddies on Find My Friends. Like, damn, why are you in this city?
Okay, I really resonate with this. I am always on Find My Friends. I always am trying to see where my friends are, especially if I've been to the city. Like, when I see you in Toronto, I know... Also, I know whose house you're at. I know what bar you're at. I know if you're at work. Mm-hmm. And especially in Vancouver, too. And then sometimes I see two people that I wouldn't expect hanging out together to be next to each other.
I love
snooping, and it is so much fun. And then also, yes, like finding the new ways in which to communicate with each other is really lovely. Because as much as like phone calls and FaceTimes are great, like expressing your love through gifting something from long distances is really sweet. I got my first long distance package in London, and it was so lovely.
That's really sweet. I think, you know, it's in the challenges question or the difficulties question, people are talking about how going through that awkward phase of having to figure out new ways to express your love and stay in contact is really hard.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great example of once you find those things that work, you know, like I have certain friends in Vancouver that I stay pen pals with, and I love that aspect of my relationship with those people. And that's really, really special. And it can become, once you've worked out those kinks, it can become one of the best parts of a long distance friendship. And then the final response that we picked out for this question is, you get to tour a new place, like a local, while getting to meet all of their friends that you've only heard about, but you already feel like you know, and you get to do the same for them. They get to witness your lore firsthand. For example, I brought my long-distance friends to Celebs, which, for those of you who don't know, is a nightclub in Vancouver, when they visited, and we ran into an old hookup of mine. And hearing their expectations versus reality was funny as hell, not only in terms of this one guy, but also behind all of Vancouver. For example, they were saying, how is everyone in Vancouver so attractive?
I cracked up when I read
all the hotties in Vancouver.
All the hotties. But
that must have been when we lived there.
I was going to say, they probably saw us. They probably saw us walking up and down the street. And that was actually the only time that they saw anyone. But I think, I think that it is really nice. The lore is really fun.
It is fun.
I feel like I knew a lot of lore before going to Toronto. Sorry to my Toronto friends.
Sorry to
them. Well, not sorry, but I knew lore before I showed up. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to put faces to names. And then also things are also happening while you're there. And now you've come in with like all of this background knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it feels like puzzle pieces just fit so perfectly together, especially if you've done your relationship right. And so it's so exciting. And then, okay, being at a club and then running into your long-distance besties.
Iconic.
So iconic. I would be in the corner being like,
I'd be like, this is the guy you were telling me about. This is Blue Jeans or whatever your code name is.
This is Tall Guy.
We do have a list of how you maintain your long-distance friendships, because we wanted to get ideas from you all. Help strengthen me and Hotlay's long-distance friendship.
Yeah, we're really struggling, actually.
So do you want to walk us through some of the things that people said?
Yeah. So the first on the list is writing letters, then sending TikToks, memes, or reels. Interesting that reels was included in this.
I like that one because It's so true. Like, that is such a big part of my long-distance friendships, of just saying something silly that you casually come across on the internet and sending it to someone, and that translating to, I'm thinking of you, or this made me think of you, without it feeling really high effort. And that is absolutely a huge part of my long-distance friendships.
I definitely also just maintain certain relationships through sending, like, internet content to them. Also, I feel like a lot of our TikToks that we send back to each other are usually just TikToks about long distance friends.
It's true.
I mean,
actually,
that's like 80%. That's such a good point. To each other.
I'm like sending those videos or those pictures, if you guys have seen, where it's like the world if we lived in the same city, and it's like utopia. Like,
okay, allowing the friendship to change.
Absolutely. I like that one. That was not what I expected when we asked this question of how do you maintain your long distance friendships.
Yeah.
I thought that was like more of an abstract way to answer this question, but I loved that answer because I think in the difficulties section, we heard a lot of people saying that, you know, allowing the friendship to change was really hard at first. And I think being able to let go and let that relationship evolve and say it's not going to look the same and that's okay is really helpful in those long distance friendships.
And also friendships are just going to change anyways, especially if you're going to let those relationships or have those relationships for a very long time. And I think as I got older, I started to realize that it was a really important lesson. But it is kind of a beautiful thing to talk about and how you're maintaining those friendships as well. Mm-hmm. Calling to talk about nothing, something I absolutely love to do.
Mm-hmm. I like that, like not only calling for the big stuff, not only calling when you have a crisis, just calling to just be like, how was your day?
Yeah.
I think that's
a
nice.
Love a cold call. Yep. Love a long distance cold call. Especially with friends that you may not have as like close of a relationship with. It's fun because you'll just get on the phone and maybe you have some updates and such. Yeah. And then I feel like sometimes I'm like walking around the city and I can be like, oh, I just saw someone walk by in like weird metallic pants. And then we can talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Letting your long distance friend be busy / not respond right away. Something we were just talking about. Text when thinking of them / reminded of a memory with them.
Love
Very
that.
Beautiful. Always love getting those texts. Watching a show together.
That's a fun one.
To be fair, I do have a friend, a long distance friend, that we watch the same thing at the same time and then we send each other voice recordings of our thoughts, or we send each other notes that we took while we were watching it. I don't do like Netflix party with my long distance friends. I feel like that might be a bit complicated.
I wouldn't say that that's part of my long distance friendships, but Halle and I are going to do a little long distance book club because I got her a book for Christmas and I also got myself that book. So we're gonna read it. We're going to chat about it.
Yeah.
So we'll report back. Let you know how that is.
We'll let you guys know via our Instagram. And the last one is making plans to visit each other.
I think that's an important one. It's not always possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your friend lives in London and it's really far away and it's kind of expensive to get to go. But then you make it work because you come to Vancouver for New Year's at the same time.
Well, and going back, I would actually love to plug the fact that Violet and I got to do something very cool, which is she was coming back from Morocco when I first moved to London. And then we got 16 hours in Portugal together, and it was so much fun. And that is really exciting and something that absolutely we would not have done if neither of us had moved away.
That's so true.
And it's just such a fun, spontaneous thing. And I remember Violet calling me and being like, well, I only have 16 hours. There's no point in you coming here.
I did not think you were going to go.
And I was like, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I have to come. I have to be with my bestie in Lisbon.
Yeah. So I think like, having something, I mean, it sounds like we're literally dating, but having a plan in place of this is when we're going to see each other again, having those intentions and, you know, having that long distance friendship, but making it short distance for at least a period of time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break, listen to some ads, and we'll be right back to get into our final portion in which we'll be talking about how we have maintained our long distance friendship. We have a really exciting tip that we can't wait to share with you all. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a
fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. And we are back. You are listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We are talking about long-distance friendships. We've kind of been skirting around the main part of this episode, which is our relationship.
Which is us.
Which is us. Yeah, as we've said, both Violet and I don't live together anymore and not in the same city.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. So for Violet and I, and for those who don't know, we lived together for 3 years. We practically had the same social life. We had this podcast together. We were doing almost everything together all of the time. And then one of us moves away.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to navigate a new era in our friendship. And I think being so close, spending so much time together, but especially living together where it gets to be sort of this no effort thing.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to try and make time to see you because we were going to all the same events and we were going home together. And so with long distance friendships, it's so different because you have to make effort. Those relationships, you know, will go stale and they will go away if you don't put in that effort.
Right.
And so I think that made me really nervous because we never had to do that with each other.
No.
Obviously, we did make
yes.
that effort. And it, you know, was a bit of an adjustment. But it also at the same time, I think, felt really natural for us because what do you mean I'm going to go a week without talking to Halle?
Yeah. And speaking of that, it was so hard when you first left. I mean, Violet and I had this like really, really sad goodbye where kind of neither of us really knew what to say to each other. And it felt like so much was kind of in my head, at least. I guess I don't need to speak for you. But for me, I felt like so much was riding on like this last moment that we were saying goodbye. And I understand that this sounds like we're in a romantic relationship.
And we are.
And in a lot of ways, it is very romantic. But I was so overwhelmed with like so much emotion. And like before Violet had left, Violet and I, like, for the last maybe 5 years of our relationship, especially once we started living together, probably didn't go, I would say at most, there was one time where you were gone for a month. And we didn't see each other for a month. And we were struggling.
Yeah, that's hard for us.
I missed you desperately.
Yeah.
And then, so it was really difficult to think about. And I remember we just had this goodbye. And I don't think we really knew the next time we were going to see each other yet. And it was, yeah, it was just really, really hard. And it was kind of this also, it was an acceptance that our friendship was going to change now. That was the ultimate, like, I guess that was what I was most scared of. Because we had built such a beautiful, loving relationship together that was so easy and made so much sense. And it felt scary that it was going to change. And I didn't know if it was going to change for the better. I knew deep down it was. I knew you were always going to be in my life. I knew you were always going to be my friend. But it was so scary to think, what if something bad happens?
Yeah.
What if she goes to Toronto and meets someone else? Literally.
New bestie alert.
New bestie alert.
Yeah. I mean, I was feeling the nerves too. And I think that just comes with change. You're venturing off into the unknown. I had no idea what this new city was going to have in store for me. I had no idea what the next year was going to have in store for you. it was a lot of change, and it can be really nerve-wracking and really scary. It was scary to move to the city and then to have this element of my friendships and my relationship with you on top of that was pretty intense. And then, so that was kind of an era for us of having this goodbye and not knowing how it was going to be. And then I think the next era was me being away and us actually being long distance. And then Holly came to visit me for the first time, and I was really nervous because I was like, what if we see each other again in person and it's not how it was before? And we are dating, by the way, in case you're wondering. But yeah, it was so silly. Once she walked in the door, I literally said to you, I was like, oh, this feels so normal.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like how it always has been. Like as if we were living together yesterday and we hadn't just spent, like, I don't know, it was maybe 5 or 6 months in between, I think,
like,
where we had been long distance friends. So I felt silly for even remotely questioning it. I mean, I think same thing that you said, that deep down, of course I knew that our relationship would stay the same, but it's also hard to feel confident about that when you don't actually know.
Well, yeah. And it is interesting, and you know, we keep kind of making this joke about how we're in a romantic relationship, but I think there is aspects, like, I've never been in a long distance relationship, but you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like, made those comparisons. And I think of it with our relationship and also some of my other relationships as well. It's like, mm-hmm. these are really intimate, important relationships. Like, not to get all sappy on the radio, but, like, Violet's going to be in my life for the rest of time. Like, she's never leaving. She's never getting rid of me. I don't care if we live thousands and thousands of miles away and it's going to cost me $8,000 to get to her. Like, I will continue to be in her life and she will continue to be in mine. And I actually do take a lot of inspiration from my friends that have had long distance relationships. And we kind of made a decision when we were thinking about the topic of this podcast. I was like, oh, should we just talk about long distance relationships generally? Like, or should we talk about friendships? But I think both of us were really, really set on wanting to do friendships because these are really important years of our lives where we're meeting some amazing, amazing people. But also, we are young. We have different ambitions from our friends. We don't want to be stuck in the same places. Mm-hmm. And I would never in my life want people to make decisions based on me to stay somewhere or not do something that they love. And so as hard as it is really important for me and for my friends and specifically in our relationship to continue our intimacy and our closeness in a way that is different, but it's still really important.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think there's so much to say about long distance friendships that you don't even have to bring romantic long distance relationships into this conversation. And certainly there's overlap, but there's also differences. And I like what you said about we met at each other at a time where we weren't settled into the place we would be forever. And it's not something you think about, I think, when you're going about relationships or when you're meeting people in university, or at least it's not something that I thought about. But then when it kind of came time of this is what makes sense for me and I'm going to live in a different place now, it's something you had to kind of confront. And as we've been saying a lot in this episode, adapt and change and find new ways to love each other and stay connected. And we found a really epic way to stay connected. We talked a little bit in the last segment about sending things from the internet and how that's a nice sort of low stakes way to stay connected or say, I'm thinking about you. And this is sort of related to that. We do a weekly photo dump that we text each other every single Sunday. It's so awesome and special. I don't know how we thought of this.
I remember.
You do.
We were on FaceTime once, and I think what was happening, like, kind of talking maybe about the more, like, struggles, I guess, when we were trying to maintain our friendship was, like, finding time to talk. Because we both work. We both had other obligations. We both had, you know, friends, events, whatever. So I think we were only maybe chatting, like, on the phone once every month, if not every 2 months. And when Violet and I get on FaceTime, we're on FaceTime literally for 8 hours, just so everyone knows. And that's great and that's amazing, but there would be so many things we felt like we needed to catch up on. And I, again, like I said earlier, I'm not a big texter. You're a very good texter, I think.
I do not identify as that at all.
Well, Violet doesn't identify herself as a good texter. I still think you are. I think you're very Anyways, we can't fight again on the radio. We've already done that once. But anyways, both of us don't identify as good texters. And so we're not going to like text each other anytime there was an update. So I think the idea just kind of naturally got brought up of like, well, why don't we just send each other pictures that we are taking? Because I take a lot of pictures already, especially I was in this era for a while where I was taking a lot of videos of like very mundane things. And I'm actually so happy that I have such a large collection of videos in my phone of just like my friends kind of just chatting together at a kitchen table or something like that. And so we started doing these weekly photo dumps and it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was something to look forward to. I was so excited to share what my week consisted of with you. I was so excited to see what your week, not only what happened, but also being able to visualize it and really build that world and be like, oh, this is your friend that you were telling me about. Yeah. Oh, this is your uncle's dog. and like, you know, the big things were captured in that, but also the small things. Like, I'm always sending you my little food that I've made for myself.
I know literally where you're eating morning, noon, and night.
And I'm like, oh, let me take a picture of this because Halle would like to see it.
Well, that's the best part. And I think that, like, one, I get so excited to take pictures. I also get so excited to do fun things because I'm like, oh, I have someone. It's like a healthier version of social media where like I am actually curating something for like my friend to see. And I am actually a lot more conscious of taking photos so that I have something to send to Violet. But then also that's really perfect for me. So then I have more photos.
So when,
and one of my favorite things too is like when there's a new character. And so it'll be like a picture of some person that maybe neither of us or I haven't seen. And then I'll respond to that specific one and be like, who is this? And then I get a background. And so now I know who this person is, which is not really something that would have happened if we were just like on the phone talking. Yeah.
And I think the other unexpected way that it manifests in our relationship is sometimes one of us will start replying to the other person's photo dump, like, oh, love, this is so pretty, or like, what's going on here, or whatever. And then we'll be texting back and forth, and then we'll be like, wait, are you free right now? Wait, should we call? Which is so funny, because I don't think that would happen otherwise, as frequently, at least.
I think also because when you first, like the first year that you were gone, I think it was a lot, our calls and our time, you know, communicating long distance was a lot more scheduled.
Yeah.
And so now it is fun. Like there have been times where it's like, well, I'm literally just in bed right now. Yeah. So yeah, call me. But yeah, I feel like as much as, you know, it may sound that like our long distance friendship is so perfect and there's nothing wrong with it. And we've never had one struggle. And I will say like, we are very good long distance friends. As two people who were historically not great at keeping up long distance friendships, I think we did a really good job. But I also don't think it didn't come with its own struggles.
Definitely.
So do you want to talk about a little bit of the things that you struggled with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that for me, I don't know if this sounds silly to say, but I do feel like my friends are a big part of my identity. And I think it was really important to me that my friends in Toronto know how much my friends in Vancouver mean to me. I think I wanted to keep all of the relationships and I wanted them to all know each other and I wanted them to love each other and know how much I loved all of them. And it was scary because the last time I had done something like that of having close distance relationships that turned into long distance relationships was in high school. And, you know, I talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but I was nervous that I would go the same way. But I didn't consider that I had had 5 more years of life experience. Yeah. I was an adult and I had adult relationships, and that's just very different from high school. And so there were a lot of nerves beforehand. But I think a lot of them cleared up. And it was reassuring in myself, too, of my friendships matter a lot to me. And so I'm thinking about this a lot. And, of course, I'm not going to let these slip away because I'm putting in the effort and I'm putting in the work.
Yeah, exactly. I think that also for me, one of the things, I think that I have, like, two main struggles in my brain. And I feel like, one, when you left, I was like, like I said earlier, I was like, she's going to find a new best friend and then I'm going to be replaced. It's all going to be horrible. Not considering the fact that like everyone has multiple close relationships, but it is scary because you're like, I feel like my friend is going to go somewhere where I'm not and I'm no longer a part of her life, mm-hmm. In like whatever, in the closeness type of way or physical closeness. And it was really nerve wracking. And again, not to sound like a broken record, I know these things sound like what people struggle with romantic relationships, mm-hmm. but I really understand it because you know that you've built a really beautiful relationship with someone, but you're also under this maybe not false insecurity. I guess it's insecurity that like makes you think crazy things that probably would have never happened in your friendships beforehand, that like, oh, this person's going to move away and then like find another life that's so much better than the one that we shared together. Yeah. And so it was a real fear. Like I genuinely was nervous, and I remember coming to visit and then meeting all these people and being like, oh, these people are really cool. Mm-hmm. And then still leaving and be like, these people are really cool. I don't know if she's going to want to keep being my friend.
Stop.
Which I know it's a stupid silly. Little thing. It's a silly thing, but I think it's real because, again, like I care about my relationships. I think both of us have made it extremely clear, not only on this podcast, but in our last episodes about how much friendship means to us.
Yeah.
Like, I think romantic love is a beautiful thing and it's a whole separate conversation to be had, but I genuinely am in the boat of thinking that so many people don't value platonic friendship and platonic love as much as I think we probably should, because your friends do a lot for you. And so the anxieties that I have surrounding it are also very similar, where it might seem silly, it might seem unrealistic, but they are fears that I have had in my life.
No, I totally get that too. And it's hard not to play the compare game. And it's hard not to play the compare game even when you aren't in a long distance friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone, you know, sending off someone you love into this new era of their life and not being able to be a part of that new, you know, city or new part of their life in the same way that you were before.
Yeah.
And that you have to lose a little bit of control and you have to let go. But having that trust and that faith in your relationship with that person. And the beautiful thing about friends is that you can have many of them and you can have different friends for different reasons.
Yeah.
And that's not the easiest lesson to learn sometimes.
No.
But definitely a lesson that's learned a lot in long distance friendships, especially.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking too that like on the, I guess, flip side of it, of the being the person that moves away, I also started having kind of the not opposite feeling, but like the feeling flipped, where I was like, oh, my community is going to go on without me.
Yeah.
And that was really scary. Mm-hmm. And I would actually argue to say that I'm still scared about it. Like, it's still weird for me to know that so many people I feel so close to still live in the same place, still do the things that we used to do together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, oh, you're able to do that while I'm not there.
Yeah.
And that feels weird.
Yeah, like, you guys need to stop having fun, actually.
Yeah.
Because I'm not there. And it's really rude of you to even consider having a good time because I'm not in that city anymore.
I'm not there, and so I feel like everyone should just be sitting still until I get back. Please.
Sit tight. I'll be right back.
Just give me 6 months. But yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, and I think that what this trip has really shown me, and I hope everyone can maybe feel if they're struggling with the same thing, is knowing that, yes, your friends will continue to have lives without you and your community will still do things that are very fun that you will not be a part of. But you also get to come back to that. I think it's been so beautiful to like return back somewhere where the closest I have with people and their closest with each other still exists, that I can just come back and re-enter in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, so I'm sure some of you listening probably have your own long distance friendships that you've had your own unique experiences with, but some of you maybe don't have those long distance friendships or haven't been the friend that's moved away from community. And so, you know, if you've considered moving somewhere else, but you're afraid to, because you're going to maybe lose out on community or friendship that you've spent time and energy building in the place that you are, I would say that we are here to tell you it's definitely possible to keep those relationships while building new ones. And maybe even getting the joy of seeing those two worlds merge together at some point in your life.
Yeah, and it can be a beautiful thing. And it's a part of growing up. So yeah, We're going to give you folks a little homework to take.
Yes, you guys miss us assigning you homework.
You have to do it.
No, you don't.
Yes,
we can't
do.
Say that on the radio, I don't think.
Okay, well, you don't have to do it, but we highly encourage it. If you have a long-distance friend that means a lot to you, we ask maybe consider writing a letter or...
Better yet,
sending a little photo dump. Try it out.
Steal our idea. Literally, please. Take it. You're going to love it.
I tell everyone to do this. And when I tell you, people listen and they love it.
Yes. Okay, well, this was so fun, you guys. Aw, I loved this. Missed you. And missed the person
you.
Listening. You can't see, but I'm pointing at... I pointed at Holly and now I'm pointing at the microphone.
Yes.
And this has been... so much fun. I'm kind of sad to be closing it out.
I know.
But as always, this has been your free therapy session for this week and the past like 2 years. So sorry for ghosting you as your therapist. But we are your hosts. I'm Violet.
And I'm Holle. This is Therapy Hour because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
We love you.